Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to My Good Nanny Radio,
MGN Radio,
the best show on Blog Talk Radio for family information and entertainment. Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, and welcome to MGN Radio. I am your host, Ms. Tossie, and today is Wednesday, February 17th, and I hope everybody had a happy Valentine's this weekend, and thank you so much for tuning into our show yesterday. We really, really had a great time with the top plastic surgeon, and thanks to everybody that tweeted about it. We had a lot of doctors on listening, and we just thank you for tuning in. If you don't know, MGN Radio is the number one show on Blog Talk Radio for family information and entertainment. We interview celebrities, everyday moms and dads, authors, speakers, you name it. So thank you again. Now, as I tell all our guests to please grab a pen and a piece of paper, because it's 30 minutes and it flies by so fast. So without further ado, let me introduce our guests so we can get started. Okay. If you have not registered for Dare to Aspire Conference, what are you waiting on? Grab your tickets, because she is going to be here. Tamiko Laurie Pugh is known as the Empowering Diva. I love it. She's a best-selling author, and she is a champion for domestic violence, and we love that. She's written, you know, a couple of books, and she's coming on to kind of share, you know, a little bit about herself, what is the Empowering Diva, and how she creates passion, purpose, potential, and peace in the lives of women. And we're simply excited that she's joining us today. So without further ado, let me connect our guest. Hold on. Hello.
Hi, I'm here. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fabulous. Thank you for joining MGN Radio. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Excellent, excellent. So, as I say, this show is recorded, and hi to all our guests and listeners that might be tuning in later. But let's get started, Tamiko. So tell us, you know, about your background and what led you to be known as, you know, this champion for domestic violence.
Okay. Well, just a little bit about me. You did talk about, you know, when you introduced me, also known as the Empowering Diva, best-selling author and champion for domestic violence. So unfortunately, you know, I grew up around violence, grew up around my mom being in a domestic violence relationship. We were very poor, so I didn't have a lot of opportunities that other people had. But one thing I did know was that when I got older, I wanted to make a difference, and I didn't want to live the same lifestyle that I did growing up. And so it was one of those situations where I said, I'll never go through that. I'll never allow a man to put his hands on me. I'll never be verbally or mentally abused. I'll never, you know, allow a person to disrespect me. And then lo and behold, I ended up in this marriage where, you know, I was emotionally abused. I was mentally abused, verbally abused, and then physically abused to the point where, you know, I just became broken. And being able to rebuild my life after that, and wanted to encourage other women who were going through the same thing that I was able to overcome, to really just empower them and to inspire them, to let them know that there is something better out there. And, you know, just encouraging other women and inspiring them, I kind of became the Empowering Diva. Everybody's like, oh, you're such a little diva, but you empower people. So that's how we kind of came up with the Empowering Diva.
I love it. I love it. And you're kind of like the voice for women empowerment, and that's so important, especially in today's, you know, day and age where, you know, sometimes women and moms don't always put themselves first. I mean, you talked about your childhood and seeing your mom get physically abused. Was she ever able to leave that situation? And was this your real father that was abusing her, or was this a stepfather?
It was my stepfather, and yes, she was able to flee and leave that relationship. And here's the awesome thing, and if it's okay for me to talk about this new book that's going to be released in March, my mom is actually one of the co-authors. I have 12 co-authors in this book who are sharing their stories of overcoming domestic violence. And this will be the first time that my mother actually has spoken out and told her story in this book. And so her story is chapter one. And it's just a blessing to have her be a part of this project. You know, she's really not a writer. She's not a speaker. But once she sat down and was able to write out everything that she experienced and then being able to overcome that, it was very healing for her. So it makes me proud to know that I was a part of that healing process, even though it was, you know, 25, 30 years later, she was finally able to heal just by sitting down and writing about that situation.
Wow, I love it. Wow, that is, I mean, yeah, let's talk about this book since you kind of segued to it, Wounds to Wisdom. How did you come up with that title?
Very interesting. So when I first started sharing my story, when I first started, you know, really getting out in the public and the community, sharing my story of overcoming domestic violence, I started, you know, social media, you know, Twitter was very popular at that time at one point, and I saw a quote that said Wounds to Wisdom, and it was by Oprah Winfrey. And I was like, wow, Wounds to Wisdom. And so I like to dissect everything in life. So I'm like, Wounds to Wisdom, and I'm dissecting this quote, and I was able to apply it to my life, you know, turning your wounds into wisdom. Anything that you go through in life, you know, any triumph that we experience in life, we have to gain wisdom from that. We have to ask ourselves the question, what is the lesson in this? And so that's how you turn your wounds into wisdom. Instead of going through life being angry and bitter and upset, you know, we have to figure out, what is the lesson into this? Why was I wounded? Why did this person hurt me? Why did I have to go through this pain? You know, we just need to figure out, what is the lesson, learn that lesson, and then move forward in life. And so that's really how I came up with Wounds to Wisdom.
Great. And, you know, one of the things I love about the book is, you know, like you said, your mom has kind of healed by telling her story. And I love the pitch, the cover of the book, you know, and again, Wounds to Wisdom is by, you know, Tamika Lowry Pugh. And I see there's a guy on the cover. And a lot of times we don't think of domestic violence. We think of women, obviously. But I see there's one guy. Is he actually a co-author, or was he just put there?
Yes. He's one of the co-authors. And he reached out to me and said, hey, do you have any male survivors in your book? And I said, I don't. You know, it's been really difficult for me to find a male to really want to speak out and share their stories, because sometimes it can be very embarrassing. And he said, I have a story. And I'm going to tell you this, Tossie, he has the most powerful story in the book.
Wow.
The most powerful story in the book. So if you think about what women go through and you know, our self-esteem, and we lose our self-confidence, the same thing happened to him as a man. You know, and he's like, I can't hit her back. We have children together. I don't want to be without my children. And so he stayed. But eventually he did leave the relationship. But it's just, his story is phenomenal.
Well, I can't wait. You know, everybody needs to go, Wounds to Wisdom, and grab this book. And I know at the conference you're going to, you know, give away a door prize, a copy of this book. So I know a lucky, you know, attendee is going to get it, and it's just going to be amazing. But let me take it back to domestic violence. And, again, we are chatting with Miko. To that woman, I think I tagged you on a page, Humans of New York, right? And they feature women and men that have been in jail and why they got there. So that woman that's getting beat down, you know, maybe she doesn't have a job, she's dependent on the man, he's emotionally abusive, cursing her out, you know, she got kids, she doesn't have anywhere to go. What is your message to her to inspire her to leave that situation? And again, she has no money. She's dependent on him, maybe he's a drug dealer, whatever. What is your message to that woman on how she can leave?
You know what? And it's a case-by-case basis. And so for me, I can't just tell a person to leave, because you really have to take into their whole situation into consideration, because it can be very difficult. It can be very dangerous. Most women actually end up getting killed on the day that they try to leave their abusers. And so you have to be very careful. The one thing you should do is to call a domestic violence agency or an organization that specializes in putting together domestic violence safety plans. My organization, the Still Standing Foundation, we help women to put together a domestic violence safety plan based on their current situation. So it really it's a case-by-case, you know, situation. But within that domestic violence safety plan, we help you to leave safely so that you and your children can be protected. And so you always want to start off by getting a protective order. And there's just little small things you have to do if you have children. You know, when you are ready to leave, give your children a password. And so for me, when I was in my situation, my password was helicopter. I taught my children, when you hear me say, there's a helicopter outside, that meant it's time to go. Grab your bags. We're leaving. Because that was our opportunity to leave when he wasn't home. And so there's just little things like that you have to take into consideration. You know, always keep an extra set of keys hidden somewhere, you know, in your trunk, an extra bag of clothing with all your personal information, your Social Security card, driver's license, birth certificates, things like that that you're going to need. Put that stuff somewhere and hide it in the trunk so that when you escape, those are your important documents that you'll have. And so you really have to, it really does take planning. You can't just say, I'm going to leave today, because that's when your abuser gets the most upset and they feel like they've lost control. And that's when a lot of people lose their lives the day that they actually try to leave.
Well, this is powerful. This is so powerful. And I'm glad you mentioned your nonprofit, you know, the Still Standing Foundation, and what you just dropped, I know it's going to help somebody. What was the thing or the event that, you know, you said, I'm done, you know, I'm leaving, helicopter, let's go? Like, what was the event for you?
You know, just to see my children always seeing me sad all the time, and they were like, Mommy's always sad, she's always crying, even though they didn't really see a lot of the abuse, they knew that something was wrong. They knew that I was always sad, I was always sick. Let me tell you, a person doesn't even have to put their hands on you to abuse you. Early on, I would just get sick for no reason. I was on, like, high blood pressure medication. I had migraines continuously. My liver started to fail because of a person. Because I allowed this person to really affect my health. It affects your health as well. Domestic violence is a public health issue because, you know, I stayed in a hospital. I have a migraine. I was always nauseous because my nerves were so bad. I had taken so many goody powders and Tylenol to control the headache, so my liver started to literally fail. And it wasn't because of the physical abuse, it was because of the emotional abuse. So to get back, you know, and I'm kind of getting off topic, to get back to the day that I realized that I had to leave, it was part of that was the reason, because I was so sick all the time. And I didn't want my baby to always see me sick. And they were like, we want to go live with Nana. When they said that they didn't want to live with me anymore, that really hurt, and I knew it was time to make a change.
Wow. That is, you are really sharing a lot. And I hope, you know, people that are listening or will listen to the rewind, you know, you're just taking these nuggets. Now, a lot of times people say, didn't he show signs? Anybody that, you know, dates an abuser, you know, they'll show signs. Maybe they'll call you out of your name before you get married or while you're dating or push you. Did your abuser show any signs and you ignored it? Or now can you look back and say, you know what, yeah, he did do something that was off?
Yeah, you know what, I believe that there's always going to be a sign, but sometimes we sweep it under the rug. And so with women, we kind of think we can fix everything. You know, we want to fix the problem. We want to sometimes we'll blame ourselves and say, well, maybe he's like that because of something I did. And so we're constantly trying to fix ourselves. But there are certain things like, you know, you can tell when a person is being controlling. So I mistook him not wanting me to hang around certain girlfriends. I mistook that as him caring about me. Oh, well, he really cares about me. You know, he doesn't want me to hang with that crowd, when really he was being controlling and implementing a form of isolation. So one of the things that abusers will do early on is they will implement isolation and isolate you from your close friends and family. And sometimes we mistake that and say, oh, well, you know what, he really cares about me, or he wants to spend all his time with me. He loves me. So we think that's love.
Yep.
But that's a form of control. Anytime a person is doing anything to control you, verbal put downs, but they're constantly, you know, calling you names, even within a relationship, withholding or giving too much money can be a sign of abuse. So my ex-husband didn't want me to work. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. He doesn't want me to work. I can stay at home. No, that was a form of financial abuse because I had to go to him for money. And so when it was time to leave, I didn't have anything.
Yep. And I don't know if you saw my post. I put on my Facebook page about women in poverty, and I said, women, I think I put a line in there that said women should always have some form of money. Whether you're married to the richest man or he says stay at home, always have a way to get your coins, ladies. That's just
yes,
my
lady.
Nugget.
Keep those coins in order.
Keep those
Absolutely.
Coins in
order.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
No, I was just saying just from personal experience, just going through that and getting ready to leave and not even having $50 in my pocket. You know what I mean? I didn't even have $50 in my pocket to say, okay, well, I'm going to stay at a hotel or I'm going to do this or do that. You definitely have to think smart and start to plan early on.
Yeah, and you know what, Tamiko? When I hear you say that, I'm sure there might be a lady listening like, yeah, I don't have money. So what did you do next? So you didn't have $50. So how did you, like, can you say, like, what was your next step since you didn't have any money? Did you go to your mom's? Like, what was your path to freedom?
Because my family, most of my family, they all live in Buffalo, New York. And, you know, I was here in Atlanta alone with really not a lot of family members. But here's the thing. Most women who are being abused, they don't want to tell their family members because they're embarrassed. I was embarrassed. And so I really didn't tell anyone. The only person that really knew was my best friend because she was always around and she knew what was going on. And so thankfully I was able to stay with her for a little while until I was able to get a job and then get on my feet. But even after getting a job and, you know, being a single parent, trying to make ends meet. And let me tell you, I was evicted 3 times the first year that I left my ex-husband. I got evicted 3 times in 1 year. There were times when I couldn't even feed my children. And I joke about this now. But the company that I worked for, I would wait until everybody was going out of the office, and I would go in the refrigerator and literally take people's lunch, their Lean Cuisines, out of the refrigerator and take them home to my children so that they can have dinner. So, you know, that's how bad it had gotten for me.
Wow. You are keeping it real. I love it.
It was been a long journey because people see what they see now, but they don't know, you know, what I had to go through to get to where I am. It was, you know, it took a lot of courage and just a lot of falling and getting back up, I would have never thought, you know, 6 years, 7 years ago when I left my abuser that I would be a best-selling author today, you know, that I would run my own nonprofit organization, that I would be an entrepreneur, you know, speaking at women's empowerment events across the country. I never thought that that would happen. That wasn't what my plan was. I thought I was going to make it in corporate America and be an executive, but, you know, God had a different plan. And so that's what I mean when I say wounds to wisdom.
Wounds to wisdom. Wow. The next bestseller by Tamiko Lowry. I mean, this, I love the, and that's what you're going to talk about at the conference, you know, and why so many women and moms should really pay attention because go to our website or even go to she's on our Facebook page, Micah, Dare to Aspire. You are gorgeous. And a lot of people might see you and say, oh, you know, because you're well put. Last year she came to our Dare to Aspire conference, well put together, pretty. I mean, look at you can see her picture. A lot of women will say, oh, you know, just like when Halle Berry talked about abuse, people are like, oh, my gosh, she's so pretty. Why did she let him do that? So can you maybe share to, because there are a lot of young girls that are in relationships that might be viewed as pretty or even not pretty, whatever. But can you give any, like, advice or wisdom to women just about the whole relationship and signs and what to look for? I know you talk about controlling, but is there anything else that you can share based on your journey?
Well, I can just say this. Anyone can be a victim. It doesn't matter, you know, what you look like. It doesn't matter your age, your sex, your race, you know, religion, education, you know, your employment status. Anyone can be a victim of dating violence. For teenagers, we call it teen dating violence. For adults, you know, domestic violence. Anyone can be a victim. Here's the thing. You have to love yourself enough to not accept certain things in a relationship. And sometimes, you know, when you're young and you're a teenager, you're so excited and you're in this new relationship and you feel like, you know, oh, well, he loves me. And, you know, if it doesn't make you feel good, then you shouldn't be in it. Anything that disturbs your peace of mind, you shouldn't be in it. And when peace, you know, we all know what it's like to feel at peace. And so one of the things I tell people now, if you are not at peace, then you shouldn't do it. That's the Holy Spirit nudging you, saying you need to move on.
That's right. I love it. You know what? Now, Tomiko, you mentioned, and I wanted to get into this. I knew we were going to chat a lot about domestic violence because it is very, very important. But you are a best-selling author, and I wanted maybe to just chat about that briefly. You are a best-selling author. Any advice to those? There's so many authors that I got a list of 30 people that want to be on the show that are authors. Like, is there any advice that you can share with our listeners on your journey of how you got to be a best-selling author?
You know what? It was really just me sharing my story. And I tell everybody, we all have a story to tell, whether it's something that happened to us, something that was good, something bad, some type of journey we've been on in life. We all have a story to tell, and your story is the key to someone else's breakthrough. And so if you're thinking about writing a book, no matter what the topic or the subject is, somebody is waiting on you. Somebody's breakthrough is dependent upon you putting out a book, because you're full of that information, and it's unfair for us to hold all this information in. So that's the first thing. You have to be willing to share your story no matter what it is. But once you put that paper, the words are going to start to flow. And so if you're an aspiring author, if you've never written a book, my advice to you is this. Sit down at your computer and set a timer for 30 minutes and just start to write. If you don't write anything, it's okay. When that timer of 30 minutes goes off, then you stop doing what you're doing. If you've written something, that's okay. Stop at 30 minutes and then go back and do it the next day, because what's going to happen is you're going to be so excited. You're going to be like, oh, my gosh, my 30 minutes are up and I have to stop. And so, you know, subconsciously your brain is going to go on overload the next day, and you'll write more and more each day. And so that's why the best way to really write a book. So I would just write 30 minutes at a time. Even if my juices were flowing, creative juices are flowing, I would stop and save all that for the next day, because now you're even more excited, and it just builds the momentum for you to finish your book. Don't worry about chapter titles and none of that stuff. Just write.
Just write. That's right. We hear that a lot. Just write. You heard it live.
Just write.
Tomiko. Just write. I love it. We have like 4 minutes left. Time always flies. But
Yeah,
it's like conversation. And I love it, Tomiko, because you're so calm and you seem very like just put together. And you are, you know. And I love the fact that you're sharing your story to help other women about domestic violence. So I was reading somewhere the statistics, like I think every 30 or 60 seconds somebody is getting beat up. It's really an epidemic. It really is. And when children are involved and they see that, you know, a lot of times the cycle repeats itself. Now, in terms of just, do you want to talk about like the cycle and what you've seen and anything you want to share on that, on the statistics?
Well, I can really tell you, from my own personal experience, it is a cycle of abuse. You know, my grandmother was abused, my mother was abused, and then I ended up being in an abusive relationship. And so it's like a generational curse, but I feel like I've broken the curse. We really have to educate our daughters and our sons on what it's like, what a healthy relationship actually looks like, and you know, create an environment at home that's loving and that's peaceful. I have a chapter in my first book, Wounds to Wisdom, I'm Still Standing, called The Generational Curse. And I talk about the generational curse of abuse and how we don't want to talk about it, and we sweep it under the rug, and then it just continuously happens. We have to start talking about stuff like this. If we want to break those curses, if we want to, you know, prevent violence from happening in our households, we have to talk about it. And it just starts with a conversation.
Wow. And what's the first thing, especially to teenagers who think, like you said, a lot of times it's, you know, a guy who will buy you something or treat you a certain way or tell you you don't have to worry about this or that. And a lot of young girls, you know, are into that light. You know, they see the reality TV. Everybody wants to be a boss and all that. And sometimes they might take stuff from men that they shouldn't. Is there any, when you're a teenager, a young girl, because there's teen abuse a lot, is there any advice that you can share for our young girls that maybe, you know, might be dealing with abuse and don't know what to do, but they're young, you know, like 16, 17, 18? Is there anything you can share to them?
Yeah, there is. So, you know, a lot of times when you're young, you get into these relationships and we look at TV and we see everybody, like you said, everybody wants to be a boss and everybody wants to dress a certain way and have all this materialistic, you know, these materialistic things, and we think it's okay to argue in relationships and to talk back to each other and to cuss each other out, because that's what we see on TV and our reality, yeah. You know, our reality TV, but it's not real. That stuff is not real. One of the things when you're young and you'll think that, oh, it's cute. For instance, if a guy is checking your cell phone all the time or he's checking your social media, you know, that's a sign of control. If he's extremely jealous all the time, jealousy is a form of abuse because it's a form of control. And we'll think, oh, it's so cute. He's just jealous. That means that he loves me. No, that doesn't mean that. That means that he's insecure, and insecurity can lead to an explosive temper and things of that nature. And then again, the isolation from your friends and family. A lot of times when they're young, they make false accusations. Oh, I saw you looking at that guy. You know, things like that. You really have to look out for possessiveness, being overly possessive, and you think he really likes me, so he's possessive. No, that is a form of control.
Wow, you said a mouth. I was just like intensively listening because, you know.
I mean, I could go on. I could talk about this for about an hour.
Yeah.
I really can. This is something that's near and dear to my heart. So I could talk about this for hours.
Yeah, and I'm glad we got to at least talk for it for 30 minutes because it's powerful. Everything you're saying, it's like as a woman, most of us have either been in a relationship, we might have been beaten up, but, you know, the jealous boyfriend or the possessive and all that stuff. And, like, you're right, you think it's love, but it's really abuse. Tamiko, please, we have like 30 seconds left. Tell people how they can reach you, how they can get your book. Please, will you share that?
Okay. So you can actually go to my website and find all the information at www.tamikolaurie.com. You can purchase my first book, Wounds to Wisdom, I'm Still Standing, on Amazon.com. The new book, Wounds to Wisdom, the Survivor Series, is available for pre-order. You can also get that on my website, tamikolaurie.com. If you want any information about domestic violence awareness, go to the Still Standing Foundation website. It's www.thestillstandingfoundation.org. And then all my social media networks are at Empowering Diva. That's Twitter, Instagram. Whatever has an at is at Empowering Diva. And then Tamiko Laurie Pugh on Facebook.
Excellent, excellent. And if you are on Instagram, you'll see her handle because we tweeted her and she's speaking at the conference. Well, thank you so much, Tamiko, and have a great day.
Thank you for having me. Have an amazing day.
Oh, you too. Bye. And for all our listeners, bye-bye. Thank you for tuning in. Next week, we'll be back with another MGM Radio, and RIP to Vanity 6. Bye.